This is Danielle Jaworwiecka with the BBC News. Hello. The United Nations Security Council has voted in favour of a US resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. 14 countries voted in favour of the US resolution. Russia abstained. While Hamas issued a statement welcoming the vote, an Israeli diplomat told the council that her country remained committed to its goals. Here's Neda Taufik.
What we've heard from Russia, China, others, is some skepticism that Israel has accepted this deal. They point to some of the statements made by Israeli officials that this war is going to continue until they defeat Hamas. They see statements coming from far-right ministers that are threatening to collapse the government if it's implemented. And so even though this resolution did pass, Russia ultimately abstained because the Arab group was on board and wanted this, but they did note that there seems to be a bit of a difference between what the U.S. is saying publicly and what Israel really feels about this deal.
The Israeli security forces have shot dead 4 Palestinians in the occupied West Bank. Israel's border police said officers fired on a vehicle that attempted to drive into them outside Ramallah. A statement added that those in the vehicle were suspected of an attempted attack earlier on Monday. Israel's parliament has taken a step towards renewing a bill that its backers say finds a compromise between the ultra-Orthodox community and more secular Jews on the issue of conscription. Until now, ultra-Orthodox men could avoid conscription by enrolling in religious schools. But more secular parties say that should no longer be an option because of the war in Gaza. The bill would mean some religious students would no longer be able to escape recruitment to the armed forces, but it would also provide alternatives to military service. The leader of Malawi says he's ordered the search and rescue operation for his vice president, Saulos Chilima, to continue. The military aircraft carrying him and 9 others is thought to have come down in bad weather on Monday morning, shortly after being turned away from an airport in Mazuzu because of poor visibility. In a televised address, President Lazarus Chakwera said the Malawian Defence Forces were leading the search.
I know that some media outlets have reported that the search and rescue operations has been suspended, but this is false. MDF soldiers are still on the ground carrying out the search, and I have given strict orders that the operation should continue until the plane is found.
38 migrants from the Horn of Africa have died after their boat capsized off the coast of Yemen. Fishermen rescued nearly 80 people, but around 100 are reported to be still missing. Survivors told rescue workers that the boat sank due to strong winds. You're listening to the World News from the BBC. The main shipping channel into the US port of Baltimore has been fully restored nearly 3 months after it was closed because of a collapsed bridge. US Army engineers and salvage crews have been working to remove an estimated 50,000 tons of debris since a giant container ship crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge in March. The vessel itself was removed last month. A court in the United States has ordered one of the world's biggest banana producers to pay nearly $40 million in damages to the families of 8 men killed by a Colombian paramilitary group. Chiquita Brands International has previously said it was forced to pay armed groups in Colombia to protect its employees. Left-wing parties in France have been meeting to discuss forming a united front against the far right during the snap election called by President Emmanuel Macron. Leading figures from the main left-of-centre groups, including the Socialists, Communists and France Unbowed, held talks at the Green Party headquarters in Paris. The American pharmaceutical company Moderna says it has developed a combined flu and COVID vaccine, which targets both diseases as effectively as separate jabs. The results are from a clinical trial, which the firm says involved more than 8,000 volunteers, all aged over 50. Here's our health reporter Michelle Roberts.
The idea behind it is that it would be more convenient, they say, for people to be able to come along and get protected against both diseases in one go with one needle. So at the moment, this latest sort of flu season over the winter in the northern hemisphere, so December time, southern hemisphere, it's the opposite, it's in the summertime. People often need a regular immunisation to give themselves protection. The conventional way is to give 2 different vaccines, you know, a separate flu one, and more recently, a separate COVID one as well for people who are at risk.
BBC News.